I mean, what worse situation? You still have all your debts to pay, but the stock market's been nuked. It's not a good situation. On the other hand, I remember playing a practice war game, and there was an attack, what we call a decapitation attack, where they're trying to take out Washington D.C. and New York. And all the bombs going towards Washington, D.C., this was a practice, all the bombs going toward Washington, D.C. were not getting shot at. They were all friendly. They were blue-colored. And I'm just going around trying to figure out what's going on. Finally, I get on the intercom, and I said, I think we got a bug in the system. Everything going towards Washington's blue. And somebody gets on, this guy down the road, three or four doors down, gets on the intercom and said, oh, that's just me. I kind of figured if we took out Washington, things might be better.
So there was a little bit of humor, at least every now and then.
Every now and again, there was a little bit of humor. So we didn't have a bug in the system. We just had somebody who thought maybe Washington would be better not around.
Well, I mean, did people get caught doing these things, pranks? Probably wouldn't be thought of real well, would it? Would it?
Oh, heavens no. That certainly wouldn't be popular with people who lived in Washington. We would play these pranks, in a sense, to have fun with each other because it was a very high-stress job. And like nightmares occasionally. But on the other hand, you want to test out the system. You want to say, does this work under any wild scenario that I can come up with? What if Australia gets the bomb? What if England tries to take us back as a colony? What if the aliens come and we have to...
Oh, you know, I was going to ask you that. Whether any scenarios had been played in which the adversary was non-human?
Yeah. Actually...
The answer is yeah?
Our practice games, we played non-human adversaries. There were games that I didn't play, even at my level of clearance.
Oh?
There were... And, gosh, did that just drive me crazy or what?
I'm sure it did drive you crazy, because you probably had, at that point, you had the book swimming in your mind.
Yes.
And you thought, big time chapter here.
Yes. What are they doing in there? How come I can't go in there?
In there, this was a level you couldn't get to?
This was a level of game that I was not allowed to play. I do know, though, that our system was built to play a non-human enemy. And a good thing, too, don't you think?
Are you folks listening to this? And so then, of course, you can't comment on how those particular scenarios played out because you weren't part of them.
I could have turned myself, well, actually a fly couldn't possibly get into the area where the war games were. But if I could have, I would have.
Oh, my
but no,
God.
I wasn't.
Just to even know so. That's going on is pretty interesting, Bonnie.
That's why I was there.
To even know that's going on, that we're making up scenarios against non-human adversaries. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, that would be considered not something that I would imagine our government would do unless they knew something we don't.
Yeah, I read...
Is that logical or not?
I think that's absolutely logical.
Uh-huh.
In fact, my second book, Earthquake Games, is... kind of the opposite take on Ground Zero. In Ground Zero, my characters worked on a government project that does great good, which is missile defense wargaming. You know, it's this incredibly good thing to shoot down nuclear missiles.
Right.
But I could also see how a government project could do evil, because I knew that my project was in this area that nobody could get in except those of us with this particular sort of clearance. There were buildings on the base in which I worked that I couldn't get into. And Art, believe me, I tried.
You
I
tried.
I took my hacky sack. I took my lunch bag. Oh, I was just looking for a place to practice hacky sack.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, in places where they do retina scans to let you in, they're probably not humored by that, huh?
They were not amused. But then I was in the club, so to speak. I made it through the retina scan, so they knew I wasn't a bad guy. But no, you cannot come in here and play hacky sack. Even, you know, I'd be in the foyer of the building looking around, you know, thinking, what's going on here? And some big guy would come up and start talking to me, and pretty soon they'd elbow me out of the building. And, I mean, it was a game, and it was part of my writing. But it was also because I had started to read extensively about government projects and what they could do. And I realized that, yes, there are government projects that could do things that no one else would know about. And, you know, then I had read that we were using UFO technology in missile defense wargaming, you know, the whole Star Wars thing. We were using UFO technology. Well, there were no aliens in my cubicle in my area.
Uh-huh.
But I saw the potential for keeping those sorts of secrets in other areas. So I kind of used that in Earthquake Games to come up with a project.
Do you think it's okay that you have even revealed this tonight? I mean, that they were gaming this?
Mm-hmm. Because, see, I have told you we practiced that. I have not told you that they played that scenario, although I suspect it is true, because that was held at a level beyond my own. It's very tantalizing. But...
Oh, yeah, but the fact that it was at a level beyond your own, and you're at a nuclear war level, a level beyond... Boy, what that suggests, Bonnie, gosh.
But who knows? You know, nothing I ever saw. But
yeah, I know. But again, because it was at a level beyond yours, and I can imagine yours had to be way up there.
Yeah, I programmed the silly chessboard. What kind of moves were they making on that chessboard that they wouldn't let me see?
Holy!
Oh, it was so irritating, but tantalizing.
For how long did you enjoy that work before it began to get you?
I was a wargamer for about 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It's a long time in a windowless building, let me tell you.
That's right, windowless.
Yeah.
Were you above ground?
Above ground.
Uh-huh.
In a building that was just the most amazing thing. You know, I talked earlier about how the wargame center in which I worked was submarine-style doors.
Yes.
And I used to go into the building while it was being built because I had my hacky sack and my lunch bag. I just wanted to see what was going on. The core of the building was, it looked like something right out of Aliens, where she goes down and fights the mother alien.
You're kidding.
No, it was built to withstand a nuclear attack.
I see.
At a distance. You know, obviously it couldn't take a direct hit, but it was built in a sturdy fashion.
In other words, they felt you would have to, after a nuclear attack, you would have to keep playing games?
I'm not sure what they thought.
I'm wondering about the reasoning for that.
You know, sometimes the reasoning escapes me too, really. But the core of the building, you know, where a lot of the equipment was run up and down, was a series of catwalks and girders and the most amazing. It was beautiful. You know, it would be beautiful in an artwork. But the other thing that they did in the capsule where we played war games, essentially, is put an electronic web around it. And I wonder sometimes if they weren't trying to interrupt remote viewing.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Because,
as you know, there was a 20-year U.S. government remote viewing project.
Right.
And they know damn well the Russians and the Chinese are both still actively engaged in that. And so you think that might have been, or you're just sort of speculating here?
It's a speculation, yes. I don't have no, you know, I didn't get told by any of the engineer guys that's what they were doing. But I looked as it was being built. I was in there, you know, with my lunch bag, poking around, and they had electronic wiring throughout the girders around the area where the War Game Center was being built. Then, of course, there was the submarine-style doors with... Now, these... I mean, what in the heck was the point of submarine-style doors?
I'm trying to figure that out myself.
There were contrasting copper metal plates that meshed with each other as the door opened and closed.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
No, you're obviously not kidding.
Yeah. Big, heavy doors, contrasting copper plates. And, of course, you know, then I read a little bit about remote viewing because I thought, now, this is more than trying to intercept electronic surveillance. Obviously, a satellite's not going to be able to see into this building. There's no windows.
Good point.
There was no way you could park a truck and aim a dish anywhere nearer than half a mile away.
Good point.
So what were they
doing? So then what were they protecting against?
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Well,
and I know that remote viewing was successful. The Russians did quite a good job with it.
That's right. Of all the people that I've interviewed that are on the edge, the remote viewers have long since convinced me. I've interviewed every one of the ones, the major ones in the project, every single one of them, and I've long since been a believer in that. Bonnie, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. Bonnie, Ranthan is my guest. Her books, Earthquake Games and Ground Zero, I've got to read both. I'm going to get both of them, guarantee you. She booked at the last minute, didn't get a chance to get them first, but I'm going to get hold of them.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 1st, 2002.
In the heat of a summer night, in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died, and they talk about it still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own, and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law, I heard my mama.